This is Shop Talk, our weekly discussion of journalism issues. I'm Rich Egger.
I'm Will Buss.
And I'm Jasmine Creighton.
Let's talk today about the case of Jackie Helbert. She was a reporter for WUTC, which is licensed by the University of Tennessee at Chattanooga. She was reporting on Tennessee's transgender bathroom bill, and she was there with some high school students who were talking to a couple legislators, and these legislators claim they never noticed there was a reporter in the room. Even though Helbert was wearing headphones, she had a recorder, she had a shotgun mic, she had an equipment bag with her, she was wearing a press badge, yet these lawmakers claim that they didn't notice there was a reporter there, and they're upset that some of the things they had to say during this meeting got reported on, were publicized. Supposedly, they pressured the university to let go of Helbert, and now, according to the Nashville Scene, Helbert has sued to get her job back, and she wants an apology, too. So, kind of a crazy story.
Absolutely, and a very weak argument on behalf of the station, the folks that are trying to terminate her. Someone who was doing her job, their excuse was that she didn't appropriately identify herself, whereas you just explained the way that she was presenting herself with press credential and the tools of the job. She was obviously there to report the event, as probably there might have been some other reporters there. I'm sure they were reporting the event as well.
And personally, when I'm in a large group like that, I don't interrupt the proceedings to let everybody know, hey, I'm here. I figure they can see my equipment. They can see the microphone with the mic flag. I would think they would have a pretty good idea there's a reporter in their midst.
I don't know any journalist who interrupts the proceedings and what's happening in front of you just to announce, hey, I'm here, by the way. So just to make sure you know, I'm recording. No one ever says that. That does not happen.
Yeah, no one's taking attendance or roll call at these things. I mean, when they have these events, I'm sure this sounds just like a typical press conference. These are called for the sake of journalists. And so no one's making a head count. And this is, again, just a very weak argument to try to thwart the efforts of this particular journalist and the job that she was trying to do.
Yeah, and even if it wasn't a typical, and this doesn't sound like a typical press conference. This isn't a press conference at all. This is a meeting with two legislators and a bunch of students. And
she's
with
unclear if this was considered a private meeting or if it was in a public space or what.
But if it was a public space, I mean, she had every right to be there. And if it wasn't a public space, then she was with this group that was brought in, and they really should have made sure that they knew who they were talking to when they said these comments that made them appear poorly to people in their audience. What it comes down to is it sounds like these lawmakers pressured the university to have her fired, and that's what she's alleging in this lawsuit.
Yeah, now one of the lawmakers says he did not threaten anybody to do anything to anyone. They simply made the university aware of the circumstances. But it sure sounds like they spoke rather frankly with the students and were surprised then to find their comments in a story.
Right. And any of these comments, by the way, could have been recorded by students and had gotten out as well.
And posted online and gone viral. Absolutely.
Right. Yeah, so what this journalist did was they have an audience, and they were heard by more people than maybe what they thought would, who they thought they would be hearing it. And again, they're the ones that said it. No one pressured them to say these things. I don't think that they're in the right for firing her. And I think she does have a case against the university.
She has a very strong case. And, when you have people out in the public forum, journalist or not, I mean, they're taking this all in and they're learning about this and they're talking about it among their own peers and such, whether they're, again, credentialed journalists or not. So, again, the point is moot, this very weak weak grounds for terminating this person that was doing their job and was in the right to do it out in the open.
Well, and again, I think maybe the lawmakers felt like they were in a private setting where they could speak frankly, but they shouldn't be saying things like that to students or any constituents that they wouldn't repeat in a public forum. We run into that problem sometimes with the Open Meetings Act, with local governments who say, we need to talk about this behind closed doors so we can talk frankly about it. And it's like, no, you're discussing the public's business. You need to talk frankly in public about the public's business.
Right. And as Open Meetings Acts stipulate, there's only certain things that you're allowed to close the doors on to discuss those things. But no, and time and time again, history has shown how entities try to abuse this right and this power. And this may have been one of those incidents. But nonetheless, there are certain ways in which you're allowed to go about doing this and doing it the right way.
Yeah. And I mean, and from the story that we read about what happened here, it looks like the station is not the one that wanted to do this. The station did not want to fire her. The NPR affiliate did not want to do that.
I mean, this is all about keeping up an image and things of that nature. And we've seen this before. And when something like this happens, I think it was someone's job to try to take some damage control, and they overreached here. And I think they're gonna lose this fight. At least I don't think they have a leg to stand on.
Yeah, and it's always going to be complex when an NPR affiliate is affiliated with the university. I mean, you are in that situation here, Rich. You work at the university, but you're a part of Tri-States Public Radio, which is an NPR affiliate. So yeah, the university has power over hiring practices.
Well,
and firing practices.
Actually, all three of us are in that position, right?
Yes,
yes. We are, yeah.
But it's a fine line, though. I mean, we need to recognize, and administrators, and in this kind of a situation that we have, need to recognize the free press and the value for it, and not to come between the truth and trying to protect an image of, in this case, like a university.
Yeah, well, an administration or you know, a legislature, they're not going to be worried about good journalism. They're going to be worried about an image, right?
That's what they were trying to do here. This is an overreach, and I just think in the end that this is going to come down very badly on for these actions.
Well, absolutely. I mean, they're worried about their image, and their image is taking a hit if they did indeed pressure the university to get rid of this reporter because she accurately reported on something that they said and was clearly there as a reporter with all that equipment and the press badge and all that.
And I find it hard to believe that saying that someone didn't identify themselves, getting back to our initial argument, that just doesn't hold water. And I can't see any other argument that's going to subside or to hold here to carry this on.
Yeah, we've talked about this before. There are a lot of people who don't understand how we do our jobs on a daily basis or how journalists go out and do their jobs. And you know, people in the university administration, they don't know what it takes to go out and do the job of a journalist. And it's not that she did the wrong thing. It's that they didn't like what she did.
Yeah. And I probably don't know how to do the job of a university administrator, but I'm not going over there and telling them how to do it either.
Absolutely.
Hey, we need to wrap things up for today. Our listeners can join us again next week at this time for more of Shop Talk.